Erickson from the set. The 3-2 pitch. It is in the dirt. He walked it. Threw him a change, I believe, but it went in the dirt. And Scotty has walked two batters here in the ninth. His fourth walk of the game, plus a hit batter, and Greg Vaughn, the designated hitter, will come up. He's their big power man. He has struck out tonight, grounded to short, and struck out again. But always dangerous. 30 home runs last year for the Brewers, who for the first time tonight have two men on base. Runners on first and second, two out, the Twins ahead, 6-0. Scott Erickson battling to get that last out. Here's the set. In comes the pitch to Vaughn. He swings and hits a high foul in the first base seats. One strike. Spires on second and Ward on first. Outfield deep left, infield back. Knobloch, 7 or 8 steps towards second base. Scott Erickson out of the set. Here's the pitch to Vaughn. It is high, a fastball. Boy, he's trying to get some extra on that pitch. Got it up. One ball and one strike. There's the set by Scotty. The 1-1 pitch. And it is a strike on the inside corner. 1-2. One ball, two strikes. He has fanned Vaughn twice tonight. One ball and two strikes. One strike away now. Erickson taking a sign from Walbeck. From the set. He delivers. A swing and a high fly ball to left field. Cole is coming in. Cole coming in. He has it. And it's a no-hit, no-run game for Scott Erickson. Boy, we almost had a collision out there in left field. With Mears running out, Cole caught the ball, and Scott Erickson being mobbed by his teammates out behind the mound. A no-hit, no-run game for Scott Erickson. The first nine-inning no-hit, no-run game the Twins have had since 1962, when Jack Kralik had a no-hit, no-run game against Kansas City. In that game, Kralik missed a perfect game when he walked Kansas City's George Halucic in the ninth inning. The Twins have had two other no-hit games. Dean Chance pitched two in 1967, won a five-inning game when he beat the Red Sox 2-0. Another nine-inning game by Chance, a no-hitter, but they scored a run in that game off him against Cleveland. Chance winning it 2-1. But Scott Erickson, boy, he really had to battle here in the ninth inning to get that last out. And boy, I don't know, I almost fell off the chair because it looked like we might have a collision out there in left field between Mears and Cole.
Well, Pat Mears running out from his shortstop position. Obviously, he just didn't know that Alex Cole had a chance to make the catch on that play. That was a rather routine play for Alex Cole, but Mears wasn't going to take any chances at all. Just a fabulous, fabulous pitching performance tonight by Scott Erickson of the Minnesota Twins. Boy, I tell you, that was really something. He's being mobbed at this moment, doing some television interviews out behind the pitcher's mound, and we're going to hold it right here. We're not going to take a break. We will wait until we have an opportunity to talk to Scott Erickson. At the moment, Steve Ink, our producer, is setting up the dugout microphone, and Scotty will be joining us very shortly. Well, Herb, it's just a great thrill. It's the second no-hitter I've seen in Major League Baseball. The other was by Dave Righetti of the New York Yankees, and this is really something to watch a pitcher the way Scott Erickson performed here tonight with the stuff that he had.
Well, no question about it, and probably the two hardest hit balls of the night were in the first inning by the first two batters. He has hit a hard shot to center that was caught by Becker, and then Spires lined out to third base. Here comes Scotty walking across the third base foul line towards the Twins dugout. A no-hit, no-run game for Scott Erickson. Boy, it's been a tough going for Scotty so far this year, but boy, everything fell into place in the game tonight.
Well, the coaching staff and manager Tom Kelly waited, did not cross the third base line. They waited for Scott Erickson to come off. Scotty did just a few brief television interviews behind the pitcher's mound, and when he came off, then Tom Kelly, Dick Sutch, Rick Stelmazik, Terry Crowley and Ron Gardenhire, Wayne Twilliger, all waiting for him to congratulate him on the no-hit performance here tonight. We'll wait for a signal. As mentioned, we're going to hold it here. John Harding, our engineer, and Steve Ink, our game producer, will let us know as soon as Scott Erickson is available, but we'll wait to take the break.
Just a little breakdown, John, and fans, on Scott Erickson tonight. There were 15 ground ball outs. There were five balls caught by the outfield, two infield fly balls, and Scotty had five strikeouts.
And the pitch count, I had 129. What'd you have?
Yeah, that's what I had.
Yeah, and he had 23 pitches in the ninth inning, and as you stated, and very appropriately stated, he probably struggled more in the ninth inning, and why not? I mean, he certainly felt the pressure of whether or not it was going to be a no-hitter, but he threw good pitches in the ninth inning, just like he did in the previous eight that he pitched.
He seemed to have his stuff just as strong. In the ninth inning, the ball was moving good all night for him, and it's just great to see a fellow, you know, who's been struggling like he has and have most of the Twins' pitches, but it shows that it can be done.
Yeah. The question I want to ask him is whether he felt the fastball was better than the slider or the fastball better than the breaking pitch tonight, because it appeared to me from here, and we discussed this during the broadcast, it looked to me like, he had command of both pitches. There wasn't any question about that. It'll be interesting to see what he says, which pitch he felt was most effective for him tonight.
Yeah, he came within a couple of strikes of getting the side out 1-2-3 in the ninth inning, but then he walked Spires, and then he walked Ward, who fouled off of a 3-2 pitch. And then he got Vaughn on that fly ball to left field. It wasn't really that well hit. But when a guy like Vaughn comes up, it scares you a little bit, even though he's been on the DL. But as the saying goes, don't throw the ball where he's swinging the bat, because he's extremely strong. And Scotty made, of course, a good pitch on him. And again, we'd say that the only really two hard-hit balls tonight were in the first inning, the first two batters up. And after that, Scotty was in complete control. He did retire the first 10 batters to face him before he walked Bill Spires in the fourth inning. In the ninth inning, the only time they had more than one runner on base at the same time.
And to her, very interesting as far as the no-hitter is concerned, there was not an outstanding fielding play by the Twins to keep the no-hitter going for Scott Erickson. As far as I was concerned, I didn't think there was a great fielding play, did you?
No, there really wasn't any one play that you could say, well, if so-and-so didn't make that play, it would have been in there for a base hit. If we'd had that collision out there, I don't know how they might have, the ball had dropped, they probably would have charged Mears with an error, but that's all academic now. And the Twins did have one double play tonight after Scotty hit John Jaha leading off the sixth inning. He immediately got Valentin, the second baseman, to hit into a double play started by Chuck Knobloch. So it was good, and probably the fact that he had 15 ground ball outs plus five strikeouts. There were only seven balls that were hit in the air that were caught tonight. So he had that good sinker and slider going and had him hitting the ball on the ground an awful lot tonight. Scotty's second win of the year, his seventh career shutout. John?
The other thing I was going to mention, too, about the fact that there weren't any great fielding plays, that the first two batters of the game, Diaz and Spires, I mean, they hit the ball as hard as anybody hit it tonight. Puckett hit the ball hard for a couple of doubles, and the first batter, Diaz, he hit the second pitch of the game for a line out to center, and then the second batter, Spires, hit the fourth pitch offered to him for just a wicked line drive to Scott Laius at third base. He actually caught the ball in self-defense.
That's about right, yeah. The only other possibility that you might say was a hard hit ball was in the eighth inning after Nilsson walked. He went to second on a wild pitch, and then Seitzer hit that, I guess it had a lot of spin on it, that hard shot down to Herbeck, who knocked the ball down and had a little trouble picking it up, but he made the play. But that was probably the only semblance of another tough play that the Twins had all night behind Scott Laius, but the ball was hit right at Ken Herbeck anyway. So,
yeah, and I think really if there had been a score decision on a play, they would have charged Herbeck with an error because he fielded the ball cleanly, and then as he was trying to get to first base, and that's when he dropped it, picked it up, and finally made the play. Yeah, Tom Mee, who is the official scorer for tonight's game, really didn't have a tough decision, which is something that is a pressure pack not only for the pitcher and the team and what have you, but it's also for the official scorer. He doesn't want to, you know, give away a no-hitter for a pitcher.
That's for sure. Well, Tom was the Twins' public relations director back in 1962 when Jack Kralik pitched that game, and of course Tom was not the scorer in that game.
Scotty's coming over now, and he's going to be joining us here in just a brief moment, so we'll have an opportunity Herb, why don't you just take it until we hear...
Hello?
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Fine. John Gordon here with Herb Carneal. Go ahead, Herb.
Congratulations, Scotty. A great job. We're so happy for you.
Thank you very much.
Scott, I want to ask you, first of all, what did you feel you had most command of tonight, the fastball or the slider?
Actually, they both were decent. You know, I still was a little wild. I walked a few guys, and I probably felt the pressure a little bit there in the last inning. But, you know, I was able to get things under control, and, you know, the guys did a good job defensively to help me out.
Well, I think a little bit better than decent, Scott, for tonight. But you felt both of them were equal as far as your pitching was concerned?
Pretty close. Yeah, that's basically, I'm a two-pitch pitcher. I try to work on a changeup once in a while here and there. But, you know, I got to get both those pitches over for strikes to be effective.
Scotty, John and I were talking, and after the first two batters in the first inning, the Brewers really didn't hit any hard shots off you all night long.
They hit a few balls pretty good. Luckily, they're right at people. I'd actually taken them out tonight. I really didn't feel that good, and I was getting a little worried when those guys hit two bullets in the first couple batters.
Did you have any particular feeling during the course of the game that, you know, this might be a record-setting performance for you?
You never know. You know, everybody's dreams to go out there and throw a game like that or get lucky and have a few breaks go their way.
Well, we don't consider this was a lucky no-hitter. Sometimes you see plays that... fantastic plays in the field at taking two or three hits away, but I don't know, we got a little bit nervous on that fly ball by Greg Vaughn in the ninth inning. A little bit afraid there might have been a collision out there.
Yeah, it looked like they might it's going to drop right between them, but you know, Alex makes up a lot of ground in a hurry, and Mears was right there to make the play too, so turned out all right.
Scott, I always go back to a game that you pitched in 1991 when you should have no-hit the New York Yankees at Yankee Stadium. You had, without question, the best stuff I think you've ever had that night. Do you remember that game, and could you compare it to tonight's game here?
Yeah, I remember that game, but it's hard to compare a couple teams like that, and that was 2 years ago. So, you know, I just went out there and tried to throw strikes tonight. I lucked out with some good defensive plays, and the guys got some runs early to make it easy for me.
Did you feel like you had as good a stuff or better stuff tonight than you had at Yankee Stadium when you two hit the Yankees?
Actually, when I took the mound tonight, I didn't feel all that good. I did feel like I had a real good fastball, but it started to pick up around the fifth or sixth inning.
Scotty, you probably don't realize it, but to put things in perspective, and especially for a guy who's been around a long time like I have, this is the first Twins no-hit, no-run game, a nine-inning no-hit, no-run game in 32 years, when a fellow named Jack Kralik had a no-hit, no-run game against Kansas City in 1962. So it's been a long time, but believe me, it was worth it. Just a great effort, and again, we're very proud of you and happy for you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Scott, just one final question for you, if you will. Reconstruct the dugout, and if any teammates said anything to you, what your thoughts were about, you know, pitching a no-hitter. When did you start to think about it?
I probably started thinking about maybe around, you know, you always think about things like that when you know, if you hope you go out there and have a good game. But, you know, it was a realistic thought maybe around the sixth inning when the fans started cheering a little bit. And then, you know, during a game, nobody on the bench is even going to come near you. So, nobody said anything.
You kind of huddled in the corner of the dugout and just you're there by yourself, right?
It was pretty much the basic same thing as every game I've pitched so far with the Twins uniform on. So nobody changed anything, and you know, I got lucky and it worked out pretty good.
You ever pitch a no-hitter in college or high school?
Maybe in Little League once or twice if I got lucky. I don't know. That was very relevant because I probably hit about five or six guys anyways.
Well, congratulations to you, Scott. We're very happy for you, very proud, and I know this has been a great outing for you. Gee, you've struggled some through the course of this early portion of the season, and here tonight you come up with a no-hit performance. You really got to be happy.
Yeah, it's I'll probably sink in a little more later on, but I'm pretty thrilled with the way things turned out.
Where's the first phone call going tonight?
I don't know. I got to go ice and do some stuff, and then, you know, maybe hopefully later on I'll get a hold of some people.
Okay, well, congratulations and good luck to you. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Scott Erickson joining us, and certainly a great thrill to see a no-hitter pitched. It's one of the exciting moments of baseball.
And another thought that occurred to me, John, you know, we were talking about there really weren't any difficult plays, but I think that makes the drama even higher.
Yep.
When you get late in the game, because you said, well, this guy really deserves it tonight, you know, and you just kind of keep your fingers crossed and everything, hoping that nothing goes wrong.
Two other thoughts. One is Matt Walbeck, whether or not he's ever caught a no-hitter before, and what his thoughts were, because a catcher is as much involved in a no-hitter as the pitcher is. And the other is Dale Scott, the home plate umpire, because you wonder what his situation is as far as calling a no-hitter. And I remember talking to Tim Cheetah when Nolan Ryan pitched his seventh no-hitter. Tim Cheetah was the home plate umpire, and what a thrill it was for him to be a part of that.
Yeah, I don't think the umpires had any variety in their strike zone. I think they were calling them, just about fair and square for everybody, including Scott Erickson tonight, even in the ninth inning.
Yeah, the biggest thing about the umpires tonight were the check swings by Dave Phillips and Tim McCollin.
Yeah, nobody took a swing on the chip when they checked, all checked in time.
They sure did. I mean, they never called one for either team, which was kind of, weird, because it could have made, a lot of difference. But that was the only umpiring decision that was really, I thought, a tough umpiring decision, was first base umpire Dave Phillips and third base umpire Tim McCollin.
Okay.
Let's take the break here, and then we'll get into the postgame show, okay? You go. You take it, Herb.
Okay, we want to give the totals?
Yeah, no, I think we need to get into the break at the end of the game, right, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the break at the end of the game. So pretend that we haven't done anything here, Herb, and go right to the break.
That's going
to
be hard to do, The final score, the Twins 6, the Brewers nothing, on a no-hitter by Scott Erickson. You're listening to Twins Baseball.